Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And welcome back to another edition of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
And so let's go ahead and get this out of the way before we go into what we've been doing this week. We are going to do the top five for next week is going to be top five scariest gaming moments. We were going to do jump scares. We were talking about it with Rampage in the chat room and Joey Image in the chat room. And they already know two of mine, so. but yeah, next week we're going to do top five scariest gaming moments. So that's going to be to start off October with a bang.
My number one, playing Zelda 2 The Adventure of Link for the first time. No, I don't know. That'll be an interesting list to come up with, because I haven't played a ton of horror games, but there are scary moments that can happen in other games too. So
yeah,
that'll be I'm looking forward to the challenge of coming up with that list.
I already got like three right off the top of my head that I know are going on my list. So I might actually have some runners up on that list.
Top five plus 10 honorable mentions.
Yeah. But how was your week?
It was good. You know, things have been steadily busy. I can't believe that we're about to be in October already. September, I feel like it just started.
Yep.
Things have been, you know, pretty busy with work and then doing, you know, some side jobs and whatnot, like working football on Friday nights, working a couple of weddings in October and November. And other than that, just that and doing the whole podcast thing. What about you?
Yeah, I do want to, for the top five, Joey's asking in the chat room, says, does it have to be horror? Like his first time fighting Mike Tyson on NES. Like, yeah, that counts. Like, that actually counts. So, yes, that could be on the list. So anything that scared you in gaming is allowed on the list.
Rampage says my number one, buying the next Sonic game, hoping it's good.
you're cutting Derek deep when you say things like that.
Catching all kinds of strays, but we haven't even gotten to the meat of the show yet.
Oh, man. But I've been playing a lot of F-Zero 99 over the last few days. Have you tried it yet?
I have, and it's pretty nuts, but it's the fun kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I haven't played it enough to really compare it to say, like, oh, is it as good as, you know, Tetris 99 or Mario 35. But I'm really enjoying it so far.
Getting a little better at it, though. I did finally break the top 50 the other day. So it's really hard to get a high rank in that game. It's really hard.
Yeah, I haven't made it close to 50 yet.
Yeah,
I'll get there at some point.
Yeah, I know I will. I want to at least be in the top 20 at some point. But man, that game is insane with the amount of people that are on those tracks.
It reminds me a little bit of playing, you know, like a multiplayer matchup in Halo where you only use the rocket launcher.
Yeah.
And there's just like pure chaos. That's what I love about F-Zero 99 is there's really no strategy.
Yeah.
The strategy is to survive.
That's all I've been doing. I haven't been trying to win. I haven't been trying to, like, you know, go up in rank. Literally just trying to survive the entire race. That's all I've been trying to do. I haven't lost a race yet. But I haven't, I'm right there in the middle. Like, I think I only broke the top 50 one time. Most of the time, I'm around 65.
Yeah, the highest I've gotten is like 76, 77, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So getting a little better at it. It is funny because the two games I've been playing could not be more opposite.
Really?
I started playing Harvest Moon again.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's on the Switch Online store.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I haven't played this game. I don't think I played it since I reviewed it years ago on the show and have just been kind of immersed in it.
I actually started a game a couple of weeks ago of that. And I got through the beginning tutorial, little tutorial thing, and then didn't know what I was doing. So I saved it and was like, I'll just come back to this later because I have no idea what to do.
It doesn't really, like, the tutorial doesn't really help.
No,
like it just kind of throws you in.
It just sort of does stuff for you, and then it's just like, okay, go. All right. Well, that wasn't much of a tutorial, but all right. Don't know what to do, so I'm just going to save.
I've never completed the game before, because you basically have to reconstruct, but renovate this ranch that you've inherited.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, I think it's like 2.5 or 3 years to do it before your parents come to, you know, to check on it or whatnot. So you get to do things like, you know, you have specific crops that you can plant. You can get married. There's all kinds of cool stuff you can do. And there's a little bit of a storyline involved, too. But it's mostly just like a, what would you compare it to? I guess a strategy game, maybe. But I don't know if I would really put it in that category. I don't know what you would call it.
It sounds to me almost like a, what's the game that Nintendo put out during the pandemic that we all got crazy for a little bit?
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing. It kind of sounds like maybe a little bit of that, but not as in depth.
Yeah. I would go with that.
Yeah, and I've never played Stardew Valley either. I've been really interested in playing that game. I've heard nothing but good things about Stardew Valley.
I haven't gotten as in-depth in Stardew Valley as I did in Harvest Moon, but from what I've played of it, I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Other than that, I haven't been playing too many other things. I mean, other than what I'm reviewing tonight, just been playing a lot of F-Zero 99. And trying to survive. That's pretty much all I've been doing.
Sir, if we ever review that game, it should be called Surviving F-Zero 99.
Yeah, no kidding. but we got a little news to get to. You ready to jump into it?
Sure.
Here, let's see right here. Some of tonight's stories were submitted to us by I Am The Rampage. Happy birthday, by the way. Mr. Rampage.
Yes, sir. Happy birthday.
And if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And this first story is from siliconera.com. New Capcom beer mugs feature Resident Evil, Mega Man, and MHR. Capcom announced a new line of glass beer mugs based on the Super Tyrant from Resident Evil, Lan Hikari from Mega Man, and Mega Man Battle Network, and the Guild Manager for Monster Hunter Rise. Each mug costs 3,300 yen, or about $22. They're expected to release in Japan on October 26th. The new Capcom glass beer mugs are now available for pre-order from the eCapcom online store. Does it say if these are going to come to America or not?
It does not. I looked at the website earlier, and everything's entirely in Japanese, so I hope they do, because even though I'm not a huge Resident Evil fan, the Resident Evil one with the super tyrant on the front looks really freaking cool.
Yeah, I really like that one. That one's so cool.
It reminds me of, like, I don't know how many breweries you guys have over near Biloxi, but we have a ton here in Pensacola, and they all have, like, their specific, you know, types of beer, and they have, like, cool names and, like, neat labels and whatnot, and this reminds me of that. So I think this is really cool.
Oh, I think you can actually buy these outside of Japan. I went to the website, and there's a pop-up that comes up that says, customers living outside Japan, shipping to 228 countries and regions available. So I'm pretty sure you'd be able to get these mugs if you just go to the website. It's ecapcom.com/shop.
I'm just saying that Super Tyrant would look pretty cool on your background there.
Yeah, I think it would too.
You should situate your Darth Vader statue to where it's holding the mug.
I might have to do that. I mean, $22 is not bad. I don't know what shipping would be. Shipping might be a little outrageous from Japan.
Yeah. I feel like shipping's outrageous for anything.
Yeah. And plus it's glass. It's going to have to be packed a lot so it doesn't break.
Yeah, it's going to have to be packed in like four layers of paper, then inside a box,
yeah,
and then another box.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you're interested, just head on over to the e-Capcom shop and pick yourself up a brand new beer mug.
Absolutely. Next up, from our favorite site, NintendoLife.com, the Famicom just won an award at the Tokyo Game Awards 2023. And says, my battery is running low. Let's see. Actually, you take this story because I got to plug in my laptop. I thought it was plugged in.
Says, at this year's annual Tokyo Game Awards, which are held during the Tokyo Game Show, the family computer known as the Famicom, or NES to us, won the Minister of Economy, Trade, and Industry Award. That's a rather long title for an award that recognizes someone or something that has contributed significantly to the growth of the Japanese games industry. Official website says that rather than just being a hit toy, it laid the foundation for the world's game industry, which has continued to develop for 40 years up to the present day, and that the video games industry would not be where it is today without the Famicom. For reference, From Software president Hidetaka Miyazaki won the award in 2022. And let's see. Takashi Tezuka, a game designer and assistant director on the original Super Mario Brothers, who is a longtime Nintendo employee, is also producing this year's Super Mario Brothers Wonder, accepted the award on behalf of Nintendo. He said, the game designer said that this award should be shared with all of the developers who created games for the Famicom. A nice little comment. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and sorry about that. I thought I kind of set up in a rush today, so thought I'd plug my laptop in, but I did not. So, this is really cool, you know. And I want to say blown away, but I was really surprised when I saw the headline saying that, you know, a Famicom is still winning an award in 2023. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah, and it's pretty much just a lifetime achievement award, which, you know.
True, but it's still technically an award.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Famicom and the NES deserve all the awards ever that have ever been made. Because the NES is the grandfather of modern gaming. So, and if you don't think so, fight me.
I can't wait to see Twitter tomorrow. I'll take this last story. This is from JurassicOutpost.com. Sega Genesis Jurassic Park games join the Classic Games Collection. Limited Run Games recently announced the upcoming Jurassic Park Classic Games Collection featuring vintage Jurassic Park video games from the NES, Game Boy, and SNES consoles. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The collection just grew in size with the addition of even more classic titles, Jurassic Park and Jurassic Park The Rampage Edition. I didn't know Rampage had a game named after him. Like, is he the only one that's allowed to get it? Like, is this specifically for him?
Yeah, this is a late birthday gift? Specifically for I Am the Rampage, because he had a rough birthday the other day, and he deserves some Jurassic Park games made just for him.
And he's going to have a little note that's in the box, and it's just going to say Rampage in all caps with like 30 A's and 10 exclamation points. But, you know, this is really cool. You know, Jurassic Park is one of the most iconic movie series of all time, especially that original movie. The effects still hold up. I watched it not too long ago on TV. I never played any of the games, but I do remember you saying that they weren't the best games you've ever played.
Well, they're not bad games. They're just the NES one is really repetitive because it's that overhead, almost like Zombies Ate My Neighbors, like that kind of top-down thing, but it gets really repetitive and it's kind of longer than it needs to be. And the Genesis one is completely different. Like, it's a side scroller and you can play as either Dr. Grant or you can play as a raptor, which is kind of awesome, which I have tried to play the game before. It's a little too hard for my taste, but I don't know, it might be nice to have a couple of new copies of these games.
Yeah, and I'm kind of leaning towards getting this because I never played any of the games, and you can pre-order yours now at the Limited Run Games website up until October 15th. See, the Classic Games Collection for the Switch is going for $40 for PS, and same thing for PS5, $40. There is a Prehistoric Edition for $150. Which comes with a steelbook and let's see, details. It includes a physical copy of the game for the Switch, a mini cartridge replica collection, a VHS style box, an acrylic lamp that shaped like a raptor.
Have you seen? Here's one pretty cool: the Classic Games Prehistoric Edition for the Switch. Well, let's see what all comes in this. This is $150. What all comes with this one? Let's see.
That's the one I'm looking at.
Oh, is that the one you're looking? Okay, because I'm looking at the Classic Edition for the PS5 and the PS4, and they both look like the VHS box as well.
That cartridge collection would be pretty cool to have as a display item. I'm not gonna lie.
Joey Image says he doesn't even like Jurassic Park. Who hurt you, sir? Who hurt you?
I mean, if you want to say you don't like the sequels, I can understand that. But
how can you?
That original movie is still great.
One of the most perfect movies ever made.
Yeah.
We got to talk, sir.
Next commentary track,
yeah,
Jurassic Park.
That's going to be our next commentary track. But that brings us to the end of the news. And now it's time for this month in video game history. On September 4th of 1986, Sega releases the OutRun racing game for the arcade. And OutRun is still to this day one of my favorite driving games in the arcade. If I ever run, if I see an OutRun, the sit down console out in the wild, I will instantly play it. I love OutRun.
It looks like a really fun game. It just looks like that typical arcade style, you know, racer from the mid 80s. I really like the flyer too. You know, it almost looks like a classic road sign that I think looks really cool. So I can't remember if I've played this or not. I know I've heard of it, but I don't know if I've played it before.
Sega OutRun was everywhere back when I was a kid. Like, you could not go into an arcade and not see, like, four of them sitting side by side, because it was a whole, like console where you sit in it. Like actually, if you scroll down on the Wikipedia page here, you'll see the cabinet, the Outrun cabinet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I want that.
It looks almost like a Hot Wheels car.
It does. Yep.
That's really cool.
If you were to get one of those and one of those car beds, you'd be set.
Yeah. Right. September 28th of 1990, Capcom releases Mega Man 3 for NES in Japan, introducing the characters Rush and Proto Man. Mega Man Slide is introduced, and Capcom's character cameos. Where does Mega Man 3 rank on your Mega Man list?
I like Mega Man 3. I definitely like it more than 1, but 2 is still my all-time favorite. 3 is probably... If I had to rank them, it would be 2, 3, 1, and then 4, 5, 6. But I've only played a little bit of 5 and 6. I don't really remember them all that well, to be honest. I need to actually go back and play those and review them, but you know, the first three games are just, those are classic Mega Man to me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
September of 1999, Sega and Sonic Team released Sonic Adventure for the Dreamcast.
I was so excited when this game came out, and it doesn't really hold up that great. Like, I still like the storyline. It has one of the best stories of any of the Sonic games. It's got a great villain besides Robotnik. But the graphics are bad. The voice acting isn't great. The dubbing from Japanese is really, really, really bad.
Hmm.
Like, when I can't use enough reallys before bad. Like, it's really bad.
I wonder if I have a copy of this for my Dreamcast. I might actually review this and see if it's as bad as you say it is.
And there are still things that I really like about it. It's just a game that does not age well at all.
Well, I'm looking at some of the screenshots here, and it's definitely... looks like this is when they were trying to move him into the 3D realm.
Yeah, this was the first major 3D Sonic game. Mm. Sonic 3D Blast is technically the first, but it wasn't like as big or like hyped up as Sonic Adventure was, because this was like a launch title for the Dreamcast. Yeah,
Mushmouth is screaming in the chat room that Sonic Adventure 2 is one of his top 5 games of all time.
I don't dispute that. Sonic Adventure 2 is a great game. It still has its flaws, but it vastly improves on Sonic Adventure 1. I'll agree with that. Let's see. September 12th of 2003, Valve releases their game distribution software out of beta, which is a little known platform called Steam.
I cannot believe it.
Steam is 20 years old.
What? I feel like I just installed Steam like last week, but I know I've been on Steam since at least like 2009, I think, 2010.
When I thought Steam started.
See,
it was around 08, 09.
Because like, it was still felt brand new when I got on Steam. So that's crazy. 2003? What is happening?
I don't know. I could have swore this was later, but when I read that, I'm like, man, it's making me feel even older.
I thought Steam would have been at least post World of Warcraft. And World of Warcraft released, it was in beta in 2004, released to the public 2005. So I thought Steam was somewhere around 2007, 2008 when it started. Crazy, 20 years. That's nuts.
Yeah.
No wonder.
Next year it could legally buy a beverage.
They need to hurry up and give us another Portal game is what they need to do. Portal 3. Why have we not gotten Portal 3 now?
It'll come out a week after Half-Life 3.
I'll be dead, so by then.
I don't talk like that.
But that brings us to the end of this month of video game history. Before we go into the review tonight, Derek, would you care to do our Patreon shout-outs, if I can talk?
Oh, for sure. We want to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out James, a.k.a. Jimbo Jr. on our Discord, Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, AxeBlade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I am the Rampage.
Rampage.
Belated birthday as
that
well.
That was a long one.
that was for his birthday. Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Mr. Joey Image, and of course, you can go ahead and say it.
Oh, Mama Diamond. Sorry. Yeah. I was trying. There's so much going on in the chat room. I got to ignore them right now.
All good.
Apparently, this is a controversial episode. So I think we're going to hear about it after this.
How so?
Well, I said no, WoW was in beta in 2004, but Joey said it was released in 2004. The beta was 2003. So with the WoW beta and Steam are the same age.
That's insane.
I know.
That is absolutely insane. But yeah, getting back to our Patreon. If you want to sign up for our Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for as little as $1 a month, you get your own RSS feed with ad-free episodes of the podcast, and you get early access to our bonus episodes. This month, you know, we weren't able to do a commentary track, so we did a spoiler-filled episode where we talked about the Ahsoka series.
That was a fun,
which I don't know about you, but I had a lot of fun because I haven't really got to talk with anybody about Ahsoka, so I kind of vomited all of it out.
Well, that's why I knew you were wanting to talk about it too, and I was just like, I haven't talked to anybody about it, so like, we're not gonna be able to get the commentary track, so let's just talk about Ahsoka for 45 minutes.
Yeah, and it was a great time, and you know, in addition to the commentary tracks, we've done a ton of those, from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation to Transformers the Movie to, you know, animated series like Gargoyles, Darkwing Duck, and Tailspin. The list is near endless of what we've done. So if you want to head over and be a part of our awesome Patreon community, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And new patrons, be sure to send us your social media information, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast,
or the Dragon's Breath roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast,
they have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And tonight I will be discussing
Mm-hmm.
the Ninja, originally released in Japan as Yami no Shigotonin, Shigotonin Cage. I knew I was not going to be able to get through that. At the Dark Operative Cage, and later released in Europe and Australia as Blue Shadow. It is a side-scrolling action game developed by Natsume for the Nintendo Entertainment System in 1990. It revolves around a pair of ninjas sent to assassinate a dictator in a futuristic version of New York City. A port was planned for the Game Boy, but was released in a rebranded form as Ninja Gaiden Shadow, which kind of makes sense because this game is very, very Ninja Gaiden-ish. Like, if you love Ninja Gaiden, you're going to like this game because it's basically a Ninja Gaiden ripoff.
And that was what I was going to ask you about, because I watched some gameplay of it and I'm like, wait a minute, this is pretty close to Ninja Gaiden.
Well, here's the thing. Like, this game came out about a year after. Ninja Gaiden. Yeah, Ninja Gaiden was 89. This came out in North America in December of 1990. So almost 1991 it came out. And so a good year after Ninja Gaiden, and you could definitely tell the people that made this game were fans of the NES version of Ninja Gaiden, because Ninja Gaiden, the NES version, is very different from the arcade version, but they definitely liked what they saw with Ninja Gaiden and was like, we can do that. And I feel like this game is, you remember how we talked before about how there, I think there are three distinct eras to the Nintendo, the original NES. There was the first era, which is like from 85 to 87, where you had like the original Super Mario Brothers, all the black box games, Metroid, stuff like that. Then you had the second era, which is when all those sequels started to come out, like the Super Mario Brothers 2, Mega Man 2, like all those games started coming out, and they started to figure out what they could get out of the Nintendo hardware. And that's kind of the sweet spot of everybody who loves Nintendo, like that era of games from like 87 to 90, like that era. And then from 90 to 94 is the third era, where, and starting in 1990, is you have those games where they finally could figure out what they could get out of the Nintendo. Some of the best actual games for the Nintendo were made in this era from 90 to 94, but not a lot of people played them because the Super Nintendo, came out in 91 and pretty much effectively killed the Nintendo. You know, the NES became the hand-me-down, the console at that point. Like, the NES went to the little brother is what happened at that point. But some of the best games came out in that era, and I feel like this game is kind of at the very beginning of that, where you could tell they were, the gameplay is smooth, like the game plays well, the graphics are great, the music, like they were really pushing the Nintendo to do some really cool stuff by this time.
And you can really tell when you go back and you look at, say, like the original Super Mario Brothers, and then you play a game that was released like this one at the end of 90 or end of 91, that you hit the nail on the head. They were figuring out what they could and couldn't do, because you can tell a very noticeable difference between, say, like Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 3. Yeah. Like, I can still appreciate Super Mario Brothers, but 3 is a vastly better game, from the music, from the graphics, to the gameplay. So it sucks in a sense that, you know, the Super Nintendo took away a lot of the potential attention and sales that a lot of these games could have had, but they're still being, you know, recognized now. You know, like we're talking about this one, you know, that came out at the tail end of the NES's lifespan.
Well, I have a shameful, embarrassing story to tell about this game.
Okay.
So back in 2015, so we started this show in 2016. And before that, in 2015, is when I really started is when I really started playing retro games again and really got into collecting, you know, getting my collection back and collecting again. Well, this game kind of missed me at the time, and I don't know why. It was just, this game was not on my radar for some reason, which is weird because I would have loved this game. As much as I love Ninja Gaiden, I would have loved this game at the time. But for some reason, it just passed me by. I had never even heard of this game till a few years ago, or until this moment in 2015. When, do you remember I had sent you, when I first started collecting again, I had found a guy at the flea market, and I bought Ninja Turtles 2 and Mega Man 2. Nintendo carts, and I sent you the picture. I'm like, I got these for $5 a piece, and I was freaking out.
Yeah.
Because even then, those cartridges were going for a good bit of money. Well, I bought those two from the guy, but he had this game too at the time, and was like, "Do you want this one too? It's $5." And I was like, "Well, I don't really know that game, so I'm just gonna pass up that one for now." No idea. I never played it. Didn't know anything about it. Now I look back on it, you know how much that game's going for on eBay right now? A loose cart's going for about $100. Because this game is not easy to find. This is not a common game. So I could have had a cart of this for $5 back in 2015. But I passed it up because I didn't know anything about the game at the time. If I'd have known, I would have picked it up.
I mean, you didn't know at the time. So, I mean, I get the frustration because I've been in, you know, situations like that myself. But yeah, that's a little demoralizing.
But even still, like, I still should have just picked it up because I, you know, I was rebuilding my collection at the time, and it was a perfect cart. He wanted five. I should have just picked it up for $5 and be like, all right, just whatever it is, I'll play it. I would have been happy either way, you know, even if I didn't like the game, I still would have been like, eh, it, you know, it fills a slot in the collection, looks nice on the shelf. But no, I let it go and didn't get it. Now I'm looking on eBay. The other night, I was like, you know what? I would really like to have this. I wish I would have bought it then. Let's go see how much it is on eBay, because I'd like to have a copy of this. Nah, I ain't spending $100 on a loose cart. Not doing it.
That's just our luck. But let me ask you this. So you mentioned it being a Ninja Gaiden ripoff. Now, at times, that's not a bad thing. Like, it can almost be, I won't say a spiritual successor, but almost like a love letter to a specific game.
Yeah.
And what category do you put this game under between those two?
Oh, definitely love letter. Like, it's, I say ripoff, but I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, it's done in a good way. Like, if you're going to emulate or, you know, quote, rip off a game, Ninja Gaiden's not a bad game to do that to. And if you have the skills, you have the programmers, you have the game designers to do it. Because there's just something about that fast-paced gameplay, you know, one hit, you know, sword kills, you know, you're jumping, and they actually, this game was doing something, you know, platforming parts of the game that were doing stuff that didn't come into play until Ninja Gaiden 3, like jumping up and grabbing, like you can jump up and grab, like, you know, like a scaffolding or a pipe or whatever, and then jump up to the next level. Like, you can jump up and hang on stuff and then jump up to another level. They weren't doing that in Ninja Gaiden until Ninja Gaiden 3, so they were adding stuff to it that I think maybe Ninja Gaiden took from them. It was like, hey, what if we put this in Ninja Gaiden? I think it would be pretty cool.
And I love when games do that, you know, when it's patterned after a certain, you know, iconic game, like in this case, Ninja Gaiden, but they add elements to it to make it almost a better gaming experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's, I like it when, especially back then, when, because you know they were always kind of emulating other games. Like, they would see a game do something like, huh, let's put that in this game. But I really think that this game should have been as big as, like, Ninja Gaiden, the way it's looked at today. Because I think there, you know, there's always speedrun communities and stuff, but why, I don't know why there's not a bigger speedrun community around this game because it's built for speedrunning.
I hate to ask this question because I feel like we talk about this with every late era NES game. You think it would have been more popular had it been a launch title for the Super Nintendo?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think this would have fit really well on the Super Nintendo. You know what the only thing I think is missing from this game that Ninja Gaiden did that this is missing from this? There's no cutscenes telling you the story in this game. Like, if you play Ninja Gaiden, Ninja Gaiden was one of the first games to have, like, full-on cinematic cutscenes in the game. They didn't do that for this game. These plot lines for these games are pretty thin at best, but still, you could have thrown a few in here and there in between levels.
Does it even have, like, an opening?
It does, yeah. It tells you the story of what's going on, but then it just sort of, like, you jump into the gameplay, and that's pretty much it till you get to the end of the game.
That's surprising that, you know, a game that was patterned after Ninja Gaiden, maybe they ran out of time?
Maybe.
I have no idea.
And the cool thing about this game, too, is there's two ninjas that you can use as well. You have the male ninja, which, what is his name? Hayate. And the other is Kaede. What is Kunoichi is Japanese term for woman. Okay. Yeah. Woman in orange. She, you can play a male or female, which was pretty progressive back in the day. I mean, the only other games you got to play a female was the Super Mario Brothers 2. Other than Metroid, but you didn't know she was female till the end. So, I mean, to play an actual female ninja, like, that's pretty cool. In 1990, that's pretty progressive. I dig it.
Yeah, no, I really like that. And you can even see on the packaging that there's a female ninja standing to the left of the male ninja, even though for some reason she's wearing red instead of orange.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but either way, that's a really cool element. Like you just said, that was a rare thing with games back then.
Yeah. And you also get your power up weapons as well in the games. You get your throwing stars, the shurikens, and you get hand grenades. Both which can only be used as long as the player's supply lasts. So it's not like Ninja Gaiden where you have, it's called Ninpo, that you have to, like a Ninpo meter you got to fill, and you use your secondary weapons until your Ninpo is gone. You actually get, like, only so many shurikens and hand grenades in this one. And you also get, I can't see where it is, but do you know the... what do they call that thing that's like, it's like a hook on the end of a chain? Like, what is that thing?
Oh, I've always called it like a grappling hook.
Yeah, something like that, but you can use it to, it's like your secondary weapon. It's almost like, use it like a whip, almost, and you can, almost like...
what Scorpion uses in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And you can use it like a whip, you know, like Simon Belmont or whatever, and it's pretty sweet. It's pretty powerful, especially when you're using it against bosses. And there are, there are 5 levels with 14 stages, with the first 4 levels being divided into 3 stages and the final level into 2. Now, the player fights numerous types of enemy characters throughout each level, including bosses and sub-bosses. And my only complaint about this game, really, is some of the just regular, you know, enemies you come across, just the regular, just rabble you come across, are kind of weird and almost like plain, if that makes any sense. Like, there's nothing really. It's like you'll run across, like, you know, a bald dude throwing a boomerang. Like, it looks like me in video game form with my shirt off throwing a boomerang, and like, that's an enemy. I'm like, give me something weird, you know, like in Ninja Gaiden, you had, like, you know, boxers and like dudes with baseball bats and stuff, like wearing football helmets, like just weird stuff, you know?
Now I'm just picturing you in video game form throwing a boomerang.
Yeah, like I ran across some enemies. I'm just like, y'all didn't even try, did you?
Maybe it was a time thing, or I don't know. Maybe the creative behind that wasn't that great. I do have to ask this though about the grappling hook. Uh-huh. When you used it, were you tempted to pull a scorpion and yell, "Get over here!"
It'd be cool if you could use it and then actually pull someone to you, but it acts more like Simon Belmont's whip than anything else.
Right.
And here's an interesting little factoid I just ran across. Natsume began development on the Game Boy version following the NES release. However, the publishing rights of the game were picked up by Tecmo, and the title was subsequently revised as a Ninja Gaiden 1991 spinoff, Ninja Gaiden Shadow, which was also developed by the Nagoya division of Natsume. So it's the same people. Well, all right.
Yeah, well, that's... That answers a question.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why it wouldn't be... It would be so easy to just slap a Ninja Gaiden label on this. You don't even have to really change anything other than, you know, changing him from purple to blue, basically. I don't know. Ryu was basically purple. He had his, you know, his blue gi on the cover, but he was actually purple in the game. So it wouldn't have to change much and just call him Ryu and not, what's his name in here? It's Hayate.
Yeah. I mean, to be perfectly honest, you know, when I started, you know, watching some gameplay of this, if I had not read anything about it, I would have just assumed that this was a Ninja Gaiden spinoff.
Yeah.
Because of how similar it was. And I mean, maybe they should have done that. I don't know. I mean, it seems like a good enough game on its own. You know, I haven't played it, so I can't really speak to that, but look wise I mean, it looks like a fun game. I think the graphics are good, it sounds good, so I just think, you know, the fact that it came out so late in the NES's lifespan was both a good thing as well as a detrimental thing to it.
Yeah, and that's the sad part about a lot of these games that came out, you know, post 1990, from like 90 late 90 to the end of the NES. You had so many good games in there, but they're not a lot of people played them, because you had games like Metal Storm, you know, Shatterhand was a great game, but not a lot of people played those games. Now, I'm glad that they put this on the Switch Online, under the Nintendo Online, because it's a pretty good game and it plays well. And even, you know, if you have a Switch subscription, just go play it for a while. I mean, it's one of those games, and once you start playing it, it's Nintendo hard, but it's a fun kind of hard.
Yeah, I definitely plan on trying it out, you know, sometime this week. You know, you told me the other day that it was on the Switch Online store, so I'll check it out, you know, later this week.
All right. I think you will dig it. And then you're going to want to buy a copy of it, and then you're going to see that it's $100 on eBay and kick yourself in the ass for not buying it in 2015. Oh, wait, that's me.
If I ever find a copy, I'll just film myself trying to kick myself in the ass.
See, in the Greatest Hits special issue of GamePro, gave it a near perfect score of 23 out of 25 and called it an above average ninja fare with top of the line graphics and fast paced gameplay and a top flight fast paced action cart. Electronic Gaming Monthly in particular praised the game's superb graphics and sound, and Nintendo Power featured it in the 1991 article Weird Heroes for supposedly featuring the first male and female team in video game history. So look at that. The first game to do it.
I just hate that it's included in an article called Weird Heroes.
Yeah, why? Why is that so weird?
That's almost like a passive-aggressive way of acknowledging it.
But that's cool, though. I mean, it's a really good game, and I don't really have much bad to say about it. It's a pretty... For as far as NES games go, it's pretty solid. So I think this would, if this is not in a top 25 NES best list, I don't know why it wouldn't be there.
No, from what you've told me, I would agree.
But out of 10, I think I would give this a solid 8. This is a really good Nintendo game.
I like that. Even selling me even more to check it out.
Yeah, go play it. I mean, it's very simple to find it now. It's right there on the Switch Online, so just go play it for a bit.
Oh, Joey has a good idea for a top 5. Top 5 old gaming magazines.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I used to love Electronic Gaming Monthly and Nintendo Power.
Yeah, those were my two go-tos. Yeah, he mentions GamePro. GamePro was a good one, too.
Yeah, but the Electronic Gaming Monthly was always like 5 times the size of all other magazines. So it was like
you could use that thing as a weapon.
I know. You felt like you were getting your money's worth with that one.
Agreed.
But anything else? I think that's going to bring me to the end of that. Anything else you want to say about Shadow of the Ninja before we leave it for this evening?
No, I don't think so. I think you pretty much covered it.
But like I said, next week, everybody, is going to be top 5 scariest gaming moments. So top 5 moments that scared you the most. And yes, it can be facing Mike Tyson for the first time and stuff like that. Doesn't have to be a horror game, just anything that scared you in a game.
I can't wait. That's going to be a really fun list to do. I can't wait to see everybody's.
And next month is Halloween Horror Month, so we're going to be doing horror games most of the month. And I think I'm going to be doing some streaming of Nightmare on Elm Street for the NES here soon. So keep an eye out for that on my YouTube channel. And let's see.
Yep,
anything
I've,
else?
I was going to say, in going off of that, I've already picked my two games.
Ooh.
So I put them in the show notes.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Oh, I like those. Yeah. Oh,
I can't wait.
I did Splatterhouse for the TG-16, but I think you should do it as well because I don't think you got to play it.
Mm-mm. I haven't played it yet.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear what you say about
it. Cool.
That's all right. We can always redo something. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, we've done some revisits.
Yeah. But anything else before we go? What's going on with the Derek Diamond Experience this week?
So another fun episode. If you're a fan of the X-Men, the animated series from the 90s, I think you'll really enjoy this week's Derek Diamond Experience because I got to chat with Cal Dodd, a.k.a. the voice of Wolverine himself, talked with me for 45 minutes, and it was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done.
That's awesome.
And he also, you know, I had to ask, he tells a hilarious story about the first time he met Hugh Jackman.
Oh, awesome.
After he was cast as Wolverine.
I didn't get to listen to it today, but I get to listen to it tomorrow. So I'll let you know when I get to what you're talking about.
it's a really fun chat. So you can head over to linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast for that. And the next day or so, I'm going to be putting out a poll for my next top 5. It's either going to be top 5 movies from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or because we're going to be going into October, thinking about doing top 5 horror movie moments.
Oh, I like that. Ooh.
So yeah. I'm going to post out a poll on my social media tomorrow. So everybody head over to Twitter and Instagram at @DDiamondPodcast to vote.
Sorry, my brain started going into my favorite horror movie moments. I'm like, oh, what am I going to put? There's going to be so many.
Yeah.
Joey Imogen in the chat room says, Derek, what was with the WWE tweet you put out?
Oh, so when I shared the Cal Dodd interview, for some reason it corrected week to WWE and I didn't see it. And then I didn't even notice it until Joey commented on it. And I'm like, oh, and then I deleted it and fixed it. So,
okay.
My mistake. That's what happens when you tweet in a hurry.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time. Stupid autocorrect.
Yeah.
So for this week on the Open Micers podcast, we just dropped a video today of Jacob eating for our Patreon last month for or this month for the Open Micers. We made Jacob eat the the Thailand Burger King mega cheeseburger that had actually it was supposed to be 20 slices of cheese, but it actually had 21 slices of cheese on it. And he almost died. So go watch that video on my YouTube page. And also we had Mr. Tom Cotter, comedian Tom Cotter, on the show last week. And he was hilarious. So go check it out at Open Micers on Twitter, Instagram, and openmicers.com takes you to the website.
Yeah, no, it was a really good episode. You guys have been doing some really good interviews over the last few weeks.
Yeah, let's hope we can keep this momentum up. It's getting
when's the it's much shoe? Harder to maintain momentum than it is to get it.
Yeah, like when's the other shoe gonna drop? Everything's going too good.
I know the feeling.
That's going to bring us to the end of the episode. Derek, is there anything else before we walk out the door tonight?
Let's get out of here.
If you want to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree that takes you to our Facebook, all of our social media stuff, our Patreon, and our merch shop, which is at ncrmerch.com. You can go get t-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bugs, bags, and mugs, and whatever your nerdy heart desires. Follow us on social media at NerdCaveRetro, at JFunktastic, and at Derek_Diamond. And as usual, please leave us a 5-star review, or, you know, even if you hate us, go leave something wherever you listen to the show. It helps get us in front of more people and helps us out. So, Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes.
My name is Freeze. Learn it well, for it's the chilling sound of your doom.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.